Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The word of God for our meditation this morning is the words of Simeon from our Holy Gospel found in Luke chapter 2, specifically where he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples." This is God's word. Having just sort of finished up the Christmas holiday, at least Christmas as the world observes it, here in the church we are still firmly within Christmas until Saturday when it is Epiphany, and then Christmas finally ends. But having celebrated the holiday here with family, a lot is different this year than the last couple of years. Last few years, after Christmas Day, we would go to the beach. And we would have a cookout and tropical drinks, at least Heather and I would, the kids didn't, gather with some other friends there and just really relaxed and enjoyed that tropical paradise there on the beach. Here, December 26th was the coldest day of the year. In fact, the high that day I checked was 0 degrees. So much for paradise, right? Some of us long for paradise this time of year. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe some of you have taken vacations in the dead of winter to go and visit a place where it's warmer, where there's beaches, where there's beautiful water. Other people seek paradise in other forms that perhaps aren't as healthy. You want something that's freedom from consequence. You want to do what you want without anyone giving you a word otherwise. I want to stop for a moment, just reflect on that word paradise. It was first applied to the Garden of Eden, the place God had prepared for Adam and Eve, his very creation, the place where he walked in the garden with them. And they enjoyed a special, intimate relationship with their Creator. Paradise, in that case, was a link between heaven and earth. God from heaven came and walked in the garden, we read in Genesis 3. He walked there with Adam and Eve, and they had a special connection there on earth with heaven itself. Now, you know how the rest of the story goes. I assume all of you do. It's kind of Sunday school 101, isn't it? Adam and Eve fell into sin, gave in to Satan's temptation, and creation fell. And so in Genesis 3, God promised salvation. The one who would come, that was the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head. One born of woman, who would be born in Bethlehem, as a matter of fact, that would crush Satan's power. And so, from that day forward, mankind longed for salvation. But I want us to ask this morning, what is salvation? And it has to do with paradise. Now, fast forward to our gospel this morning, where Simeon is holding the newborn Christ in his hands. And he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples." He saw salvation in the one he held in his hands. A 40-day-old child in the temple with his parents that was come to save the world. Not just Israel. In fact, that's probably what Simeon had spent the majority of his life hoping for. But we also read about Anna the prophetess, what she longed for, the redemption of God's people, Israel or Jerusalem. But there's more than that. This is the one who is salvation in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, to the people outside of Israel. That's what the Gentiles were, right? The non-Jewish people. And also for glory to your people, Israel. What God promised in that child that Simeon held in his hands was salvation for all, the Gentiles as well. And what that salvation would be was paradise restored. Paradise brought back to what it was in the Garden of Eden, and yet even better. What was it that was lost in Adam and Eve's fall into sin? What caused paradise to go away? They lost holiness. They were perfect. In God's image, they were created, and yet they gave that up when they exchanged it for sin. They lost their holiness. They lost the gift of life for eternity. Death entered into the world. And they lost that presence of God, the one who walked in the garden with them. In fact, they weren't even allowed back in the garden after that point. You see, those are the very things that Jesus comes to restore for us. He comes to give us holiness. We read it in our Old Testament reading this morning. He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. When God looks at you, you are holy in his eyes. There's a little thing I've done in sermons. I'm going to give you a sneak preview. Probably come All Saints Day, I might do it here as well. But I'll ask the people gathered that day, raise your hand if you are without sin. And of course, us being Lutherans, we've been saying, I'm a poor, miserable sinner. Since the time we could begin to speak, no one raises their hand. And yet, the mystery of it all is that every one of us can raise our hand and say, I am without sin. I am holy and perfect because Jesus has made me so. Yes, I am a poor, miserable sinner, deserving of nothing but death and damnation. And mysteriously, at the very same time, I am perfect and sinless and righteous in God's sight. Because the one who restores paradise makes me that way. He covers me in his righteousness. He gives me his holiness. So when God looks at me, he doesn't see the wretched sinner that I know I am. He sees the perfection of his son, Jesus. He brings holiness. By restoring paradise, he also brings us eternity. Death defeated. Death put asunder. The tears of grief wiped away. The tears of suffering and hurt washed away in the promise that we will live forever. In the words of our epistle, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. It's one of those verses that people love to twist and they ruin it all the time because we want to be politically correct and we want to be culturally sensitive. We say, no, you're no longer slaves, you're children of God. No, it says you're sons of God. And that word son is very important, and it applies to everyone here, not just the men and women equally. All of you are sons of God. Why? Because the son is the heir. And you have that inheritance laid up for you in heaven that will not pass away. Be careful when you try and twist translations of the Bible, you lose some of the important meaning. We are sons of God, every one of us, because it's the firstborn son who gets the best inheritance. And even though Jesus was the firstborn son of God, he traded away his honor and his glory for a cross, so that we would receive the inheritance of the Son. He comes to restore our holiness, our eternity as sons of God, and to promise us that God's presence will continue with us. That same presence that was right there in the hands of Simeon He's the same God who's present with us today in his word, in his sacrament, where he gives us the forgiveness of sins. We have seen the salvation of our God, like Simeon, in our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who comes to restore paradise, to bring us back to the garden, even better than that, to establish something better than what Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. I want you each to think about how the Bible is put together. You have an Old Testament and a New Testament, right? Bible begins in Genesis and it ends in Revelation. And I want you to think about how the Bible begins. God creates a heaven and an earth and everything within it. And he says it's good. He creates man and woman in his image and he says it's very good. It's paradise. All of us know the creation story. I don't know if you know how the Bible ends. Revelation 21 and 22. It's paradise. It's perfection. A new heaven and a new earth with a garden in it where God's people live and where he is in their presence. The Bible literally begins and ends with paradise. But you know what happens in the middle, of course. Right after Genesis 2, you go to Genesis 3. Adam and Eve trade it all for a bite of forbidden fruit. They give in to Satan's temptation. Eve blames the serpent. Adam blames God. And all falls apart. So how do we get from paradise in the beginning to paradise at the end? It's all right there in Simeon's hands. It's in the one that links the beginning to the end. The whole point of Holy Scripture, the whole point of the Bible, is to show you Jesus Christ, the one who restores paradise, the one who shows us what we've lost from the Garden of Eden, but the one who shows us what we gain in his kingdom that has no end. Think of that construction of your Bible. Paradise in the beginning, paradise in the end. In between, though, it's all kind of a mess. And maybe you're looking for paradise somewhere else than what God has laid out for you. If you are, repent. Turn away from those things which you think are some sort of paradise here on earth for you. And look to the paradise our Lord has laid up for you in heaven. Repent of desiring anything other than what God has prepared for you and for those who are his children, who are his sons. The earthly paradises in which we put our hope and our trust and our confidence all the time, they disappoint us. And I talked earlier about that beautiful tropical beach down in Puerto Rico. I went back and visited that beach before I moved back here. It was destroyed by the hurricane. Even here, we find glimpses of paradise up here in the beautiful north woods of the Upper Peninsula, and that turns deadly. Winter can be deadly, not just deadly temperatures. As probably many of you know, yesterday we heard a tragic story of deadly roads that took the lives of two teenagers from Kingsford. These earthly relationships we have and the earthly comforts and the earthly possessions, when we put all our hope and all our confidence in them, they always disappoint us. So we repent. The true source of paradise is the one that Simeon held in his hands and the one that is put in your hands this morning in bread and wine where he gives his body and blood. The paradise that was poured on Bentley this morning in the waters of baptism. We have seen the salvation of God with our own eyes, as Simeon saw it with his. We recall our own baptism when we invoke the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We recall the promise of paradise, of salvation that he gave to us. When we confess our sins and hear the words of absolution, that word of paradise, of salvation, is spoken to us as well. Our Father speaks it to us through the gospel that's proclaimed, and we taste it. The food of paradise given to us in the body and blood of Jesus this morning. Even in the dead of winter, there are glimpses of beauty. And even between the paradise we've lost in the Garden of Eden and the paradise that's restored for us in the kingdom to come, God allows us to glimpse that heavenly paradise. Because like Simeon, our own eyes have seen his salvation. We have been given a taste of what is to come when we live together with our God forever and ever, where our Lord Jesus Christ will reign as Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords, when we will come before his throne and enjoy his gifts, his love, his mercy, his compassion, his holy presence forevermore. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.